Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn, here with Brett Dawson, sitting where Billy Donovan usually sits.
It's hot.
It's not that hot. It's not that hot. It's tepid.
I'm just making a joke about the fact that you are literally sitting in Billy Donovan's seat
I am sitting in his seat. Final score tonight, Thunder loses to the Houston Rockets, 122-112. Look, this weekend we said the Portland Trail Blazers are a better team than the Thunder.
Add another one. Add one more to the list.
There was no question. We knew going into this one that the Houston Rockets were better than the Thunder. But the Houston Rockets, we severely underestimated how good they would be in the beginning of the season.
I wildly underestimated. Like, I underestimated how good Houston was going to be. I overestimated how good the Thunder was going to be because I expected these two teams to be right there together, kind of fighting it out with San Antonio, which San Antonio, okay, like, we're forgiven on San Antonio. Kawhi Leonard hasn't played.
Yeah.
They might be in the mix for all we know.
And they're still in the mix.
Right.
Even though
they're not going to be in the mix for the top two.
They're not playing well, but they're still in the mix to maybe get a 3 or 4 seed.
Right. But we thought that they have reasons. We were just wrong about the Rockets and the Thunder. And the gap is significant, and it is across the board. Houston is a much better offensive team. Houston now, right now, today, is a better defensive team than the Thunder, which is whatever. I don't understand how that happened, but it did. Well, how it happened is the Thunder became a bad defensive team.
Yeah.
Houston's just a much, much better team. James Harden is going to walk away with the MVP. He's going to run away from everybody else with it.
And it was funny, before we got on the podcast, we were just kind of talking about the similarities between this Thunder team from this season and last season.
Same record, 66
Same
games.
Record. And if you think about it, let's say the Rockets either get the 1 or the 2 seed, because they're going to get the 1 or the 2 seed.
Yep.
It's not out of the question that the Thunder gets the 7 or the 8 seed.
Yeah.
The Thunder loses to the Rockets in 5 games last year. I honestly think it would probably be the same thing.
I do too.
It'll be the
exact
gentleman same
sweep. Because it's hard to imagine them taking two away, because you can't see them winning a game there. And, like, look, they might go down there a couple weeks and win, but I don't think so. I mean, the gap looks pretty big. In the NBA, things change fast. We've seen that this season a couple of times for the Thunder. But the gap right now, it looks really wide. And tonight is a night where, Paul George didn't play great offensively. The Thunder really struggled to involve Steven Adams, although I think that had more to do with Houston's defense than anything else. We're sitting here watching the Pelicans and the Clippers as we here's the gap between – I'm going to sum up the gap between the Rockets and the Thunder. The Rockets are fighting it out with the Warriors to try to get the 1 seed and get home court throughout the playoffs. The Thunder is, like, hoping the Pelicans win this game because the Clippers are out of the playoffs and you don't really want the Clippers to gain any ground on you right now.
Yeah. Even though the Thunder has a tiebreaker over the Clippers.
Yeah.
And they do not have the tiebreaker over the Pelicans.
That's true.
So if the Pelicans lose, it would be good for the Thunder from a standpoint that, like, the Pelicans might be able to drop below them, but also the Clippers are going to basically
gain a game. It's a lose-lose.
Basically, the Thunder can't be scoreboard watching. They need to go win games.
That's true. No outcomes are good except Dallas beat Denver. That's a good outcome for the Thunder. But, I mean, that's where they are. They are not as a team. We don't think they're doing this. They're probably not scoreboard watching. Given the sort of approach they've had to all this, that everything's fine, I doubt they are paying that much attention to the other scores. But if you're looking for their, kind of figuring out what their fortunes are, you kind of have to.
They're not paying much attention to what they're supposed to be doing, frankly.
It doesn't seem like it. It really doesn't seem like it. We're seeing some of these, this game notwithstanding, has the Pelicans have kind of blown a big lead here. But Anthony Davis is stepping up tonight and playing great. Damian Lillard stepped up tonight and played great against L.A. the other night. You're waiting for this thing to happen for the Thunder where somebody really takes charge and somebody has a great game in a game that's meaningful and they get a win. And I don't mean against Phoenix or Sacramento. I mean in a real game.
And this was one of those nights where the Thunder had to have great performances from all of their core guys.
Yeah.
And they got great performances from, I'd say, one of them.
They got
I'd say one of them. They got a great performance from, because Carmelo. You wouldn't expect Carmelo Anthony to score 23 points on the efficiency that he did. He came out and he was really good in the first half.
Yeah, I would say they sort of had a great performance because I feel like Carmelo gave them like half of a great performance. And, Westbrook gave
the defense.
Well, and also the second half. He just wasn't very good offensively. I think he was 1-for-7 from the floor in the second half.
Yeah.
On some of the same looks. And then Westbrook gave them like a great scoring performance. And that was kind of it. You know, like, not to bag too much on Russell Westbrook, but we're probably going to do some of that in this podcast because he scored and he shot the ball really well. He missed all four of his threes, but was 15 of 27 overall. But he turned the ball over a lot. You know, there was a real struggle to kind of get Paul George and Steven Adams involved early. And then once those guys got going, it kind of stopped going to them. I did not think Westbrook played a good game, despite the scoring numbers being nice.
I didn't understand the shift when Paul George and Paul George and Steven Adams didn't have very good first halves, and some of that's out of Steven Adams' hands because he relies a lot on people to set him up with baskets and he only got one shot attempt. Houston did a tremendous job of closing off the paint.
That's what we talk about their defense. Their defense is like way better. They played good defense.
Yeah. Active hands, getting a lot of deflections on Westbrook passes. Really good defense, forcing a Thunder into 20 turnovers overall.
Yeah.
Some of that can excuse Steven Adams for because he just frankly didn't get the opportunities.
Right.
They were just closing down on him so quickly. They played that role game really well.
Yeah.
But
and by the way, to say this about Steven Adams, he played his ass off. He played really hard.
Yeah, he played really hard. He always plays hard.
Yeah.
And he did the best he could defensively. It's hard to defend a Rockets team that can just spread you out as much as they do. Now, with Paul George, he had some situations in the first half where he stepped into some bad three-pointers. He took some isolation threes. He never really looked like he was in a good rhythm. And I think he started 1-for-7 from the field, had 3 points in the first half. But when they – and I wrote about this – when their offense really looked at its best, and granted, they still weren't stopping – Brett's over here having a heart attack over Anthony Davis.
No, just a stank face at the shot Anthony Davis just made. He just made a ridiculous shot.
He's got 37 points on 16 to 30. Okay, so
I feel like I'm watching him play the Thunder again.
I hope this goes to overtime. So basically, when they start the third quarter and they get to within three, which was basically their best team flow of basketball.
Yeah.
It was Paul George acting as a facilitator.
Yep.
He played a nice two-man game with Steven Adams, a little give-and-go action.
Yep. Had him on a little lob that I think he had to come down with, but he scored on it.
But Paul George was acting as a facilitator.
Yeah.
And there was another play where, he hit Adams with the lob, and then there was another one where Paul George drew two guys and put a behind-the-back pass to Steven Adams.
The coolest pass Paul George has made all year. I mean, like, he's made some really nice passes, but, like, just for cool quotient, by far the best one.
And, look, if the Thunder can get any stops in that stretch, it would have helped. They couldn't get any stops all night. Yeah. But Russell Westbrook comes back and the offense, and he didn't come back. He was in the game the entire time, but he goes back to the role he always has where he's the point guard and he has the ball in his hands. And things start to kind of come unravel once again. He takes some bad shots, takes a bad three in transition when they get it to within 10. Rockets rip off 13-1. Basically, the game's over from there. They rip off 13-1 after the Thunder get it to three. That's a wrap.
Yeah.
The Thunder's defense was the main problem, but as we've seen all season, when the Thunder has a good thing going offensively, it seems very difficult for them to stay with it. Whether it's continuing in the role game when it's like Jeremy Grant's feeling good in the role game, or it's Paul George acting as a facilitator, getting the ball in his hands, getting him touches.
Yeah.
The Thunder, for some reason or another, just can't seem to stick to what works.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's been Carmelo Anthony in the short roll, that sort of short pick and pop where he gets the free throw line jumper, that kind of stuff. There's a very distracting thing on TNT right now where Boban is dancing and it's very
– and he's wearing – looks like rolled up capris. But it's just – it's baffling, and I think it starts – and again, like you said it well, we don't want to pile on Russell Westbrook.
Right.
But this is a fundamental – this is a fundamental thing, and I want to be clear to the people that are listening to the podcast who were singing the praises of James Harden last year, which was warranted. James Harden had a tremendous year last year. I voted for Russell Westbrook as the MVP because I thought that Russell Westbrook saved this team from a lot of situations that they wouldn't have been able to get out of if it wasn't for Russell Westbrook being clutch in those situations. You can debate till the day till the day is over or the day is long, or whatever the saying is, whether or not the Thunder would have been a better team if Russell Westbrook passed the ball more or not. I don't think that last year's Thunder team is better than this year's Thunder team. I just think that this year's Thunder team is severely underachieved.
Yeah. But that team, by the way, is like they what he did in the clutch was amazing. It's amazing. It's historic. Yeah. They were also because of some of that, they were lucky in ways that like and I don't mean like I'm not taking away from what he did in the clutch. It was awesome. We wrote glowingly about it all year and it deservedly so. But they shouldn't have won some of the games that they won. This team has lost some games that maybe numerically it should have won. So some of that stuff kind of just has balanced out. But this team is quite disappointing, whereas last year's team felt like about what they should be by the end of the year.
And this is kind of the point that I was trying to make, is that I think that a player can be an MVP or a player can be a first-team All-NBA or be a great player and have a great individual season that can stand alone from it being championship basketball.
Yeah.
Because I think that Russell Westbrook's season was most valuable player worthy last year. Yeah. I think that he was the most valuable player to his team for what he did, considering the circumstances.
The great argument for Westbrook was always, if you take him off, what are they? And, like, Houston would have been not very good without Harden, but Oklahoma City would have been bad without Westbrook. Would have been a bad team.
Yeah, and you could have made the argument that, like, Houston would have been a bad team too, but they probably would have been some iteration of the Clippers, basically.
Yeah, right.
And the Clippers are fighting for...
Yeah, they'd have been like, okay. Harden, they'd have been bad. I mean, like, they wouldn't have been a good team. But, like, Westbrook, you looked at Harden and it was just like, man, he's passing it to Eric Gordon and he's passing it to Ryan Anderson. These guys are such good shooters. And look at Trevor Ariza. He's sort of a two-way kind of guy. So he does things at both ends of the floor, whereas you had Robertson, who's much more limited. You know, Oladipo, who, like, you can argue that, like, okay, well, maybe Westbrook didn't involve Oladipo enough. But then you watch how Oladipo played in those playoffs. They would not have been a very good team.
Now, I think one thing that I did underestimate about Harden last season was how much better he makes the guys around him. Because we said this before the podcast. I think you could take some of the guys on the Thunder, not all of them. We don't know. We just don't know because we can't conduct this experiment. But I think you could take some of the guys on the Thunder, put them on the Rockets, and they would be better shooters. Because I think that James Harden is just innately a better – like all-around offensive basketball player than Russell Westbrook, because he's a better three-point shooter. He's more of a threat. You have to be more honest in terms of his three-point shot. He can also get to the rim just as much as Russell Westbrook can.
Right.
It looks different, but he can get to the rim. And his passing ability is just incredible. There was one play where he threw a pass behind his back to Trevor Ariza. Cool. It was behind Steven Adams' back.
Yeah.
And it was just absurd. It was almost a blind pass. And the same thing goes for Chris Paul too. He throws a lot of blind passes out of the screen game to like Ryan Anderson, where he whips the ball around the guy that is chasing him off of the screen.
Paul made a pass tonight to Nene that was just absurd.
We've seen Russell Westbrook throw some tremendous passes
For sure.
But it's different. Yeah. It's a different kind of game.
And it's an offense that's built differently. I mean, because you can build it differently. Like, Westbrook in that same sort of, like, spread pick-and-roll offense, I don't know if he would be the same kind of player that Harden is. He wouldn't be the same kind of player because he's not the same kind of shooter. It's just different. And having two of those guys, having Paul and Harden, it just creates so many great looks for other guys. Because the one thing they're so good at is they get into the middle of the floor and they get into the paint, and then the Thunder's a team that they're not stopping dribble penetration very well, particularly post-Robertson. So they're helping. They're helping off shooters. They don't really stay home. That's Paul George said tonight, that's the philosophy. If somebody gets beat, you go to help. The lowest guy has to go help. Well, what happens from that is that it feels like when you go help against Houston, one pass, and if not one, two, gets them a three-point shot, and they make those passes. They're all willing to make that pass.
It was – It happened in the third quarter, I don't remember what quarter it was, but there was one situation where P.J. Tucker was handling the ball, and he drove, and the defender that was defending the corner sagged in, and then they hit a three off of it.
Yep.
And then on the next play, Corey Brewer stayed home on the outside, and P.J. Tucker got a layup.
Yeah.
So you're just picking your poison, essentially, because they space so well that you're picking your poison.
That's the thing. Billy Donovan talked before the game tonight about spacing. You know, it's funny because we think about, you know, we talk about the D'Antoni offense and everything that it's meant to the NBA. The words everybody always uses is pace and space. The Rockets aren't playing with that much pace. They don't play that fast. but they're a great spacing team. And Billy Donovan talked pregame tonight about the importance of the Thunder in their pick and roll spacing. It just doesn't look the same as it looks with Houston because they've got threats all over the floor, whereas the Thunder is pretty limited in who can shoot the ball from three-point range. And like we said, Westbrook really can't.
Fun fact, the LA Clippers are sponsored by the dating app Bumble.
Yeah, it just happened. just happened today, I think.
It's crazy.
I think this is their first game wearing
those. That's fantastic. And the Pelicans are sponsored by Zatarain's, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Which is like a Louisiana-based food company, jambalaya and gumbo and all kinds of mess, for all y'all that don't know. The longer point that I was trying to make about Russell Westbrook, and I made it before we got on, was that he could be an MVP, but I don't – like, the jury's still out in terms of him being a championship, a player that you can build a championship club around, because, granted, we're almost 2 years removed from the Kevin Durant departure, but we have almost two solid years of data with a healthy Westbrook to go off of, and it's basically the exact same result.
Yeah.
Whether you have Enes Kanter or Paul George or Carmelo Anthony or DeMontis Sabonis,
yeah,
it's the same result.
Yep.
And I don't know how the Thunder, in the next 5 years that Westbrook is signed for, how you're able to achieve what you want to achieve, whether it's – I mean, getting a championship over Golden State and Houston and these other up-and-coming teams that can shoot the three so well, your Denvers, even a team like – who else can shoot it really well from three?
New Orleans actually shoots it very well. They're not going to be a championship contender, but they've got a bunch of guys that make threes. That's what's hurt them.
Hell, even a Portland.
Yeah, I mean, Portland can make a ton of them.
And they can rebound just as well as the Thunder.
Yep.
So how does your team go forward and still become a championship-caliber team when you're facing an aging Carmelo Anthony that you're relying on to be your third-best player or your fourth-best player, whatever, because Steven Adams and Paul George. Yeah. You don't know if Paul George is going to be here beyond this season.
Right.
I would still lean to him leaving.
Yeah.
And Steven Adams can't shoot threes.
Right.
So, and Russell Westbrook just doesn't create the openings that a James Harden or a Chris Paul does, because either those guys are just better, more gifted passers than Russell Westbrook is because they're Hall of Famers, or Russell Westbrook himself just can't create the three-point opportunities that these other guys can because he's a career 31% three-point shooter.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because, as you say, these are totally different kinds of teams. Last year was young, and Westbrook was kind of the one piece, and he kind of had to do everything. And we can debate forever about whether he did too much, but like it didn't seem like it at the time. It seemed like that's what was needed with that group of guys. Now he's gone from having a very young team to a pretty old team. A lot of experience. He's got other playmakers around him. You know, Paul George is not a great ball handler, but he's a better creator of things right now than Victor Oladipo was last year, in terms of just like getting stuff for Steven Adams and doing some things like that. You've built a team that's very different, and you don't look any closer to being a championship team. That said, like the one thing about this team, I will say, and I don't think this is the difference between them being like a championship contender and not, but I will say every time we talk about this that they were 16-4 in the last 20 games that Andre Robertson played, and they are so much worse defensively. That at least you can look at the team that was playing well before the Robertson injury and say, okay, this is a team that can give people problems because they're harder to score on. This current iteration of the Thunder is like an okay offensive team and not a very good defensive team, and it's just not – this doesn't look anything like a team that can scare a contender.
No, and basically your contenders are less than a handful of teams at this point. It's Golden State, it's Houston, and whoever comes out of the East.
Yeah, and maybe not even whoever comes out of the East. I mean, like, you know – Maybe if the Cavs make it out, maybe if like when Kevin Love comes back, they're really good. Like the Cavs, I think, are always, if they can get to the finals, the Cavs are a threat against.
And we're back. We got cut off briefly. I don't remember what we were talking about, but we have some standings here.
Yeah, let's just move on to this.
Oh, and the Rockets won their 50th game tonight. I didn't even realize that. We didn't even mention the fact that the Rockets have won 16 games in a row, which is absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
The Thunder's longest winning streak of the season is half of that. Which is basically another way of saying that the Rockets are way better than the Thunder. I don't know how the Thunder fixes this. People are going to say stuff like fire Billy Donovan. I don't think that that's necessarily the answer. I think it's more from the top. And I don't think it's a thing that you can fix in a season because, as I said, look, as great as Russell Westbrook is, and he's a tremendous player, he's a top five player in the NBA. I think you can be a top five player in the NBA, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're the centerpiece of a championship team.
Right.
I don't know how the Thunder can beat this iteration of Golden State, whatever Houston puts around James Harden and Chris Paul over the next 3 or 4 years that they're together in their, and it's still in their peak. I don't see how the Thunder can get past that, because Russell Westbrook has inherent flaws in his game that he is not a three-point shooter. The guys that lead those two teams are gifted three-point shooters that are running offenses that are not predicated on Russell Westbrook or one guy creating everything. I don't know that at this juncture of his career that you can bring in a coach that's going to be able to unlock this different form of basketball and create Russell and turn Russell Westbrook into a more efficient three-point shooter. I just don't know if that's possible. So for the people that say, well, Billy Donovan needs to bench Russell Westbrook, or the Thunder needs to get a guy who coaches like Pop, it's like, okay, go find said coach who can change the core player of your team that basically dictates everything that happens in your franchise from behind the scenes to on the court. Like, I don't have an answer to that. I don't know if the Thunder has an answer to that, because they did what they, I guess, probably thought they needed to do at the time in re-signing him and made sure that they had a star to go forward with, because it's really difficult to get a star here unless you have him in-house drafted or you trade for him, which they've done with Paul George in trading, and then they've drafted Russell Westbrook and Steven Adams. But I don't have an answer for this Thunder team going forward beyond this season. I think that anything that they get out of this season that goes beyond a first-round playoff series, I think, is a win right now, because they just disappointed so much. Yeah. To get to the second round and be competitive, that's a disappointment. The season's a disappointment. Like, regardless of what happens, unless they get to the Western Conference Finals, the season's a disappointment.
Right. In which case, by the way, the Western Conference Finals now would be just like a hugely pleasant surprise. It would make the season, because that was always the mark of success. So after what they've had now, it would seem like an even greater success. It would seem like such a shock. But I agree, like, you know, if you now, based on where they are right now, if you get to the second round, you should feel pretty good about it. But ultimately, that's going to be a disappointment.
And the wild part is look, they're not that far removed from the four. I just don't believe, like we've said this before, like, I have just no confidence in this team being able to get a home playoff seed. They don't put together a consistent enough stretch of games. They haven't played defense since, even when Andre Robertson was healthy, they weren't playing as consistent defense as they should have been.
They were really good and stretches where they weren't very good. The thing they've sort of, you know, this goes back, you were there in Dallas and Russell Westbrook said, you know, like, what's our record against the best teams? And that's sort of the thing they've hung their hat on is, look, like, when push comes to shove, we're good against these great teams. Well, now that record is crashing against the good teams, and they've taken the last two games they've played against those teams have been this one and the Golden State game, where they've gotten blown off the floor. So they don't look like they're playing very well against the good teams now. And, you know, here comes this stretch where they're going to play 11 straight coming up against teams with winning records. And, it was funny when I first started putting that stat out there, people were saying, well, that's fine, they play better against good teams. But right now they kind of don't. And so that stretch seems a little daunting.
Yeah, and then if you're in the situation you're in where you're playing for playoff position, how much energy are you going to have going into the playoffs because you were going to war against good teams down the stretch? I mean, teams that are battering you, that you're having the battle against every night. You know, the Thunder's going to be playing for this until the last game of the season. I mean, presumably, unless they just completely fall off a cliff.
Right. Or completely catch fire. And what's funny is, like, it seems more likely right now that they would fall off a cliff than catch fire and move up to the three.
Yeah, it seems likely that they're going to continue to teeter between the cliff and catching fire.
Yeah.
Which is just mediocrity.
Yeah.
You know, they're a mediocre team.
Yeah, they're a middle-of-the-pack kind of team. They're just like a middle – I mean, like middle-of-the-pack in terms of, like, middle-of-the-playoff pack. You know,
so –
a bad team in the sense of, like, we've seen bad teams.
Yeah.
We're going to see a couple coming up.
So I will issue my official apology to all Thunder fans. I'm sorry I gassed you all up about the Thunder earlier in the season. I frankly didn't think they were going to get the 2 seed. I thought they would either be a 3 or a 4.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, I thought this. I was like, you know, they could even be a 5. Yeah. I even thought that to myself. They could even be a 5, and I didn't want to say that because I was giving them more of a benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Minnesota's pretty much done what I thought they were going to do. I was skeptical that Minnesota was going to take the massive jump that everybody said they were going to. Yeah.
Although Minnesota, to in fairness, Minnesota is still 10 games over 500 with and now playing without Jimmy Butler. Like they were pretty good and looked like they were going to be the three for a good long while there. Now it looks like that's going to be hard, but maybe not that hard because Butler could come back and they can make a little run because really they're right behind. I mean, everybody's so bunched up.
Minnesota's essentially the Thunder. They got the same point differential essentially, and the Minnesota's defense hasn't really been great all season, and the Thunder's is coming back down to earth. Everybody else is really tight. You've got teams like Portland and New Orleans that are just really hot right now, but they still haven't separated themselves in terms of games. I mean, San Antonio's 5, and they're only a game and a half behind Portland. And Portland's won 8 straight, and San Antonio's won 1 in a row. So it's kind of like
– greatest stat I've seen about the Western Conference playoff picture, and I forget who it was that – it might have been Matt Moore, but I don't want to – I hate to give him credit and end up being wrong. But the stat was that Utah went 13-2 in a 15-game stretch. At the beginning of that stretch, Utah was 10th in the West. At the end, 10th in the West. Did not move in the standings after going 13-2.
Yeah, and I'd like to see all the folks in the beginning of the season who said that the Western Conference was overrated and the Eastern Conference is possibly a better conference. It's not. The Eastern Conference still.
Your two best teams are in the West, and then the pack is so much better in the West than the pack is in the East. Look at the pack in the East after the first three, if you want to consider Cleveland to be. You know, the Pacers are in the 4 seed right now. We didn't think they would make the playoffs.
Yeah. And the Pacers are a good team. Look, the Pacers are.
They are. The Wizards are. They're like fine. These are like fine teams, but they're, you know, the Western teams are just, they're better.
Yeah. But this is the thing about the East. Even the East's best teams in Toronto and Boston, we have serious questions about those teams. Toronto has not been good in the playoffs the past couple of years, even though they've revamped their offense and they're a really good team this year in terms of scoring differential and just the offense and defense. They're a top 10 team offensively and defensively. Boston, great defensive team, questions about their offense.
And frankly, still questions about whether the Celtics can they beat a LeBron James team in the playoffs?
No.
Like, Kyrie Irving is a really good player. He doesn't help you beat LeBron. I mean, like, he's not going to guard him. And we've seen them play the Cavs twice, and the new-look Cavs destroyed them on their floor, and Boston's been very up and down and very inconsistent. And so, yeah, you have a lot of questions about those teams. The Raptors are the best of that bunch right now. They are the best team today in the East. But like you said, I mean, like, how many times are we going to see Toronto struggle to get out of the first round and then lose in the second round?
And I would not be surprised at the least if the Thunder went up to Toronto in 2 weeks and beat them.
It wouldn't shock me.
It would not shock me at all.
It also would not shock me if they got routed. Both those games, they go to Toronto and Boston on a Sunday, Tuesday. Would not be shocked. Here's the one guarantee I have about that Raptors game. It's probably going to be ugly because it's a noon game.
Oh, man. Thunder silver linings tonight. Corey Brewer, your plus-minus anti-darling.
As you said earlier, he is the new Jeremy Grant.
He's the new Jeremy Grant.
Where, like, you can think, like, hey, I think Corey Brewer, he played with a lot of energy. He didn't shoot the ball great, but he really gave a lot of, oh, my God, he's minus 20. Like, that's what you do when you look at his line score. He outscored by 20 when he was on the floor in 23 minutes. Big jump in minutes. I actually did like a lot of the stuff he did, and I would wonder what his kind of true plus-minus is because I wonder how much of that minus 20 came in stretches when he was on the court with some guys who were, not playing particularly well. Because, like, there were some other guys. Patrick Patterson was minus 11 tonight. You know, the bench guys, the starters were okay. Not good enough to beat the Rockets, but good enough to hang around. The bench was not. And the Rockets bench is really good. And that's, you know, on a night when, you know, like, Mbamute shot the ball well. Eric Gordon didn't have a great game, but they have a lot of really good guys.
The Rockets bench is even better because you can essentially run two different teams around Harden and Chris Paul when you stagger those guys.
Yeah.
Because you always have a floor general who can just create guys' shots no matter who's on the floor.
Right.
When Russell Westbrook's not on the floor, again, there's a situation where the Thunder probably needs to put the ball in Paul George's hands more when Russell Westbrook's not on the floor. Even when Russell Westbrook's on the floor, they need to put the ball in Paul George's hands more.
You know, Billy Donovan's kind of talked about this too. They just, you know, Paul George – without saying, like, Paul George doesn't want to be staggered, he has talked about the routines and the patterns that Paul George likes, and essentially it is like he doesn't really want to be staggered. So, like, that's another thing where Billy Donovan is I don't know that it's necessarily his fault, but he does sort of acquiesce to what players want in terms of substitutions and things, and maybe he should go a little bit away from that, but I do think there is an organizational feeling that you should keep players happy.
How is Paul George going to handle not being staggered when he plays for the Lakers? Because, like, he's just going to be surrounded by a bunch of guys who aren't Westbrookian in nature.
Yeah.
He's basically – when Paul George goes to the Lakers, he's basically going to be playing for the Pacers again.
Maybe, depending on what else happens. I mean, like, depending on if they can get somebody else, you know. Like, if they can get two guys, which they have –
I mean, I guess in theory he'll have a better point guard because I guess peak Lonzo will be better than peak George Hill. I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Lonzo looks like he's going to be good. The weird thing about the Laker thing, and, like, I'm kind of with you in the sense that I've kind of done, like, a 360 on Paul George. Like, when they traded for him, I thought, no chance he's coming back. And then I gradually started to do the little 180 toward, like, you know what? I think, actually, he might come back on a short contract, and that makes the most sense. And now I'm starting to lean the other way again. And really, it's unfair because Paul George hasn't. He hasn't changed his mind because I don't think his mind's made up. So nothing is happening to make that change. To me, it's like watching these guys struggle and watching the Lakers look kind of like viable all of a sudden and Lonzo look like he's going to be a good player. I've started to think, like, if you're going to struggle to make the playoffs with Oklahoma City and we know how much you like L.A., maybe you'd rather just go struggle to make the playoffs with the Lakers.
Or, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers maneuver some things because they know LeBron's staying and then they can somehow get Paul George to sign a deal.
Maybe. That we do a lot of maneuvering.
This is the problem I have with Paul. Like, why would Paul George go and bang his head against a wall in the West for the prime of his career when he could go join LeBron or, I don't know, go to Philly or something?
Yeah.
Just somewhere where you're not banging your head against the wall, like, in the West.
I'll say this. Paul George was not happy tonight. He was like, it's so funny. The difference between an unhappy Paul George and an unhappy Russell Westbrook is, like, Westbrook says, like, one word in response to questions. And Paul George says, like a two-sentence answer, which is like, man, Paul's mad. He's only saying two sentences in response to this question. But he was not in a good mood. But, like, we've had no indication that he's unhappy in the grander scheme of things. I have no reason to be like, he's more likely to leave now than he was a month ago. I just sort of feel that way. It's not rooted in anything at all.
For me, it's rooted in this team just hasn't really consistently played beautiful basketball.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, like, it just doesn't seem like it's very much fun because they're not playing very well.
And it's a strain. It seems like a nightly strain for them to even get moments of fluidity.
Yeah.
And I feel like he could probably find that elsewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's – look, Houston might be able to finagle room to get Paul George. Houston's done it.
They do magical things there in Houston. There's all this talk about them getting LeBron, which would be effectively the same thing in terms of what you'd have to do in terms of cap gymnastics.
Yeah. Look, if these guys want to play on the same team, they'll find a way for these guys to play on the same team. They'll just tell each other behind the scenes, we want to do this and that. The agents will hook it up. They'll say, we'll take this much amount of money to make it work. And they'll make it work. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, like, it sort of felt like there was that one stretch. And it's, again, with Robertson, that one stretch where it really felt. They won 8 in a row, and Robertson played in most of those games, I think. And it really felt like this was starting to happen. And that's when you sort of started to change your mind about Paul George a little bit. You started to think, like, hey, maybe this is the best place for him to kind of make a threat to some of these better teams. Because for a while there, it looked like they were going to be that kind of team. And maybe, like, I hate this because with the Thunder, this is always the thing, right? There's always this big what if. Well, what if this had happened? What if this guy doesn't get hurt? And, like, maybe they would have been a really good team without Robertson. I think it's reasonable to think that maybe they would have just separated themselves as the three if he had stayed healthy. But it didn't happen. And so, like, you know, whatever. What happens from here on out is what's going to determine Paul George's future, not what happened with Robertson.
See, the problem is this team, it just exposed the fragile nature of this team by losing a guy like Andre Robertson. Because, look, Andre Robertson is a top five. He's one of the top five defensive players in the league.
Yep.
But to lose him and for your team's defense to go the way it did, it shouldn't be that much of an effect.
Right.
Like, the Spurs lost a guy who's a better defender than Andre Robertson and Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And they are still the number one defense in the league.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and that's.
It shouldn't be that much of an effect.
Yeah, it just tells you that his defense is not only it's a good defense, but it's masking a lot of deficiencies from other places on the floor.
Yeah.
Which is not as much the case with San Antonio. That's a better team defense. More guys play good defense there. Robertson was allowing some guys to do some things, and now they can't do those things anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Westbrook is one of those guys. I'm not trying to speak in code. You know, like, Russell Westbrook is one of those guys. He masks a lot of what Westbrook doesn't do defensively. He also let Paul George kind of do a lot of things, just kind of have some freedom to do some stuff defensively that now he's got to buckle down and play differently. And Paul George is still a very good defender. It's just not the same when you don't have a guy like that.
Yeah. All right. We had another 15 minutes of this podcast. Thunder has another gotta have it game on Thursday against Sacramento. No excuses. They gotta beat them guys, man.
Yep, and you can't lose any more of these games. They just can't. I mean, like they can, they might, but like those are games you need to win because everybody is fighting tooth and nail, and these teams are playing great in these great games, and so you just cannot afford. Like Denver lost one of those tonight, and that's a real bad loss for Denver. They lose to Dallas, that's a real bad loss. So you know you can't afford too many of those, and the Thunder's got too many already.
Those scrappy Mavericks just continuing to give the Western Conference contenders problems.
All these Western Conference contenders are like, thanks a lot, ESPN, for ripping these dudes for tanking because they're on fire ever since they did that.
Oh, man.
I mean, on fire relative for the Mavs.
All right. I'm Eric Horn, Brett Dawson over here to my left. Thanks for joining us. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Check out our work on newsok.com. And we will see you after Thursday's thrilling slugfest. We're sure it'll be just a knockout, drag out, down, whatever they call it.
Probably kind of, will be. Probably, it, be
probably
close
will
Phoenix.
Be. It probably will be. Sacramento. Oh, wait. Is Phoenix next? I keep saying Sacramento.
Week. Yeah, Phoenix is this week. Sorry. Phoenix is this week. Sacramento's next week. They got San Antonio in between.
Oof. Yeah. Phoenix is...
It'll probably be close. They're always close with Phoenix.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. See you after Phoenix on Thursday.